So then, this lunchtime, we are continuing our series, Who Do You Think You Are? And we're looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus Christ as recorded for us in John's Gospel. So last week, we saw that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And this lunchtime, we are looking at Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so on the inside of your service sheets there, there's a reading from John chapter 14 and also an outline of the talk as well. So let us hear God's word together. So Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. And there are leaders in a prayer as we ask for God's help as we come to look at his word. Let's pray together. Father, at this time of economic downturn, when so many people are despairing, we give thanks that there is hope to be found in you. And we give thanks that this hope is not just based on hunches or recovery statistics issued by the government, but rather is on the sure foundation of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask now, as we meet together in his name, that you would help us to understand his words and that we might be those that would receive them with humility. And we ask all these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm sure that we've probably all been in the situation of having to ask someone the way. You know what it's like. You've been driving around for what seems like ages, looking for the road. You've maybe even stopped and you've looked at the map. You've looked for road signs, and then eventually, even if you're a bloke, you just have to stop and ask someone for directions. However, there's a much more important question out there than directions to a hotel or to find the right road, and that is directions to heaven or our eternal home. And it's those kinds of directions that one of the disciples, Thomas, is asking for in verse 5. So Jesus has been talking about heaven. He has been saying, I go to prepare a place for you. And then Thomas asks, Lord, how can we know the way? And it's in this context that Jesus replies with verse 6 when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, there are many different forces in the world telling us the way to God. Some claim to be the only way. Others tell us that there are maybe lots and lots of different ways to God. And so how do we work out which one we ought to be listening to? This particular saying of Jesus may be a very controversial one, but it's also a really important one. And it's a really good one for us to look at this lunchtime, because I believe that this verse gets right to the heart of some of the differences between Christianity and the other religions. It gives us some of the reasons why Jesus is unique and therefore why he is worthy of our trust and devotion and lives and worship and dedication this lunchtime. So I've put three headings there on your sheets. First of all, Jesus is the way, rescue, not rules. So the main point of verse 6 seems to be that Jesus is the way to the Father. So Jesus says, I am the way. And then he goes on to clarify at the end of the verse, no one comes to the Father except through me, just so we don't misunderstand what he's saying. So he's claiming that he is the only way to God. Now, I know that this is an exclusive claim that is not one that sits easily with many of us. And so what did Jesus mean when he said, I am the way to God? And so there are really two interrelated questions which we need to ask here. One is, why do we need the way? And the other is, exactly how is Jesus the way? You see, there are lots of folk for whom Jesus' claim to be the way is a moot question. We don't think we are lost, so why would we ever need to know the way? However, I think John's gospel here is very blunt about why humanity generally and us specifically need rescuing. So in John chapter 8, verse 24, some of the religious leaders of the day are speaking to Jesus and asking him questions, and he tells them, if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, then you will die in your sins. And so we need rescuing from our sins, our rebellion against God, going our own way in life instead of God's way. Then God's word also says that we need rescuing from God's judgment. So John chapter 3 verse 36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And so that's telling us that even worse than our sins, that God is angry with us. We are under his wrath, and so we need rescuing from it. And so all of us in the world, all humanity, needs Christ's rescue. We are lost, and we are heading in the wrong direction, and yet Jesus Christ came to earth on a rescue mission to save us. He died on the cross, taking God's wrath, the punishment due for our sins, on himself, thus opening up the way for us to know him. See, Jesus' mission is a rescue mission. Last week, as I'm sure many of you know, was the anniversary of the Hillsborough tragedy in which 96 Liverpool fans were killed. There was a film made of it, which was shown on TV recently, which featured several of the families in it who had lost relatives. And in the film, you could watch as a whole crowd was walking to the ground that particular afternoon, and they walked past someone who was obviously a Christian, who was handing out leaflets about the Christian gospel or the Christian message. See, of course, none of them really knew it at the time, but they were walking right past God's offer of rescue. You see, they didn't think they were lost. They didn't think they had any need, perhaps. And so none of them thought that they needed to know the way. And so this lunchtime, have you realized that you are lost? Have you grasped that you need the way? Have you grasped your need of Jesus Christ? You see, I think one of the fundamental misunderstandings that people have about Christianity is that it's all about rules, right? It's all about keeping the rules. Often when I tell people that I'm a Christian, and maybe you're here and you've had this experience too, their very next question begins with the words, am I allowed to ... Have you noticed that? So it's, are you allowed to drink? Are you allowed to smoke? Do you actually have to go to church every week? And the assumption which underlies those kinds of questions is what? It's about that Christianity is all about keeping rules. But notice here that Jesus is saying that that's not true. He says, I am the way. And when Jesus says, I am the way, he does not mean that he just happens to point to the way, that he's someone giving us directions. Nor does he mean that if we keep all these laws or all these rules that he gives us, that we will somehow mysteriously find the way for ourselves. No, rather he says, it's me. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except how? Except through me. That is, except trusting in his death for them through me. And so one of the reasons why Jesus is the only way to God, the only way to the Father, is that there is just simply no other way to be rescued. Where else can your sins be paid for except through Christ? Where else can God's judgment be removed except at the cross? What's wrong with rules? Well, for one thing, we can't actually keep them. God requires perfection, and therefore none of us can actually do that. None of us can keep the rules. And then one other very grave problem with rules is, I think, that they often lead to pride and arrogance. You see, one of the problems with religion very often is that even if you do manage to keep all the rules, then there's this tendency which creeps in that means that you start to look down on other people who maybe aren't keeping the rules as well as you are. You think that they may be less committed, or their moral failures, not like you, of course, and so keeping the rules can lead to pride and arrogance. These kinds of things can even be a danger, especially if you've been a Christian for a while. You can sort of lapse back into rule-keeping rather than continually relying on Jesus' rescue. And so we must constantly remember that it's all about grace. We are all lost. We are all sinners. The entry point for Christianity is admitting your need. We need to remember that Jesus came to bring rescue rather than rules. And so Jesus is the way, but then Jesus is also the truth as well. And that moves us on to see that Jesus is the truth, revelation, not reason. So Jesus says, "I am the truth," and when he says that, he is saying that he is the only one who reveals the truth about God. And so throughout John's Gospel, as we flip over the pages, we see Jesus revealing his Father in both words and actions. So in his words, we read in somewhere like John chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own, it comes from him who sent me." And then in his actions, we see here in the passage we're looking at this lunchtime, there in verse 8, that Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father." And Jesus replies in verse 9, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Then in verse 7, Jesus makes the staggering claim, "If you've known me, then you have known the Father." So what does this mean for us? Well, what it means is that if you are looking at Jesus, you will never ever get a wrong or a distorted view of God. If you're looking at Jesus Christ, if you have him in view, then you will never ever get a view of God which is somehow cracked or maybe opaque or smudged or tinted. Rather, you will get a perfect picture of the Father if you look at Christ. This is made really clear in John chapter 1, verse 18, where it says, "No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he is the one. He has made him known." And so this is saying that Jesus reveals God. Jesus is in intimate relationship with the Father in heaven, yet he has come down to earth to reveal him to us. On one of the islands of the New Hebrides in the South Seas, believe it or not, Prince Philip is worshipped as a god. And if you don't believe me, you can look it up on the BBC website. And what happens is that every year the islanders eat and drink and celebrate his birthday, and they even have a special shrine which is dedicated to him on the island. However, the thing, of course, is that they wouldn't have known anything at all about Prince Philip if he hadn't have revealed himself to them. If Prince Philip hadn't sent them official photographs, then they would have never known what he was like. And then in 1974, when he made an official visit to the island, resplendent in his white naval officer's suit, of course they all went wild. He was their god who had finally come to see them. But of course, in many ways, it's the same with us as well. You see, we can only know what God is like because he has chosen to reveal himself to us. He has sent us his image, the exact representation of his being. And he has come to us in person to reveal himself to us. And so we can come to know and worship him. Jesus is the true revelation of God. And there are implications for us here this lunchtime. One is that if you are here and you're looking into Christianity, then Jesus is the only one who can provide you with true knowledge about God. So Jesus says here, "I am the truth." And that brings him into conflict, of course, with other claims of truth which are out there. So this brings Jesus into conflict with Mormonism, for instance, which says that their prophet, Joseph Smith, has a more up-to-date revelation of God. And it brings Jesus into contact with Islam as well, which says that Jesus was only a prophet and not God himself, God revealing God. We have to say as well that this is also in contrast to many of the prevailing views of truth in our culture. The prevailing view, of course, is that we all have to determine what is right or what is true for ourselves. And so, for instance, what might be true for me wouldn't necessarily be true for you and on. There is no big capital T truth, if you like, that is true for everyone. In fact, I was speaking to someone here on Sunday evening, and they were saying that they believed that truth was culturally defined. So there was no absolute truth, but truth sort of changed and altered from one culture to the other, depending on what you were in. Of course, one of the problems with that is that you can't say that any culture is actually wrong or evil, because they're all making up truth for themselves. And then, of course, he was saying absolutely that there was no absolute truth. But against all these views of truth, Jesus says, "I am the truth." So where would you go, I wonder, to find out the truth about God? If a friend or a colleague was to come to you and say, "Okay, where ought I to look to find out the truth about God?" I wonder what you would say to them. You see, some people, of course, would say, "Well, you ought to look at creation." And it is true, of course, that we can see God's power in the creation, in the world which he has made. But then if you think about it for a moment, that sort of has its limitations, really, as it doesn't really tell us anything about how we can actually come to know God. Then I suppose other people would say, well, we ought to look to our experience. Maybe our experience is one way that we can find out the truth about God. But if you think about it, and experience is an important thing, but it's a really reliable guide to what's actually true, isn't it? It can often be hard to know whether that's God speaking to us or maybe something else, like our emotions, for instance. Other people, well, they would say, well, okay, maybe we can use our reason to try and reach God like that. But again, reason is an unreliable guide, surely. I mean, I guess sometimes reason can be helpful if we are using it to look into the ways that God has revealed himself through Christ in his word. But reason can also be unhelpful too, especially if we use it just to manufacture our own truth, or we try and find our own way to God apart from what he has revealed. And so where would you go to find out the truth about God? Well, this is saying here that the truth about God is only found in one place, and it is in him who is the supreme revelation of God, the one who is the perfect image of the Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, the one who is God, who has come down to earth to reveal God to us, and we can find out about him in the scriptures that speak of him. I think there's an application here for those of us who are Christians as well. I think there's a comfort in the fact that if we have come to know Jesus, then we've come to know the truth about God, and so we don't need to look anywhere else. I know this is sometimes a difficult thing to hold on to in an office environment where everybody maybe thinks that you are crazy for believing this. But if you know Jesus, then you know God, and therefore your place in his house, the place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us, is secure, no matter what trials and troubles you may be going through in the economic downturn at the moment. So then Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, but then thirdly, we also see that Jesus is the life, relationship, not religion. And so Jesus says, "I am the life." Jesus claims to have God's life in him. So John chapter 5, verse 26 says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." And then Jesus liberally gives this life to others. We saw last week how Jesus said in John 11, 25, "I am the resurrection and the life," and then gave Lazarus new life by raising him from the dead. And so when we speak about life, we mean life with God, a restored relationship with God now, and then a place in heaven when we die. I think this is one of the most distinctive things about Christianity as when compared with other religions. You see, most religions in the world, they're about things that we do now so that we will hopefully achieve some kind of relationship with God in the future. But Christians, they have a relationship with God right now through Christ. What does saying this mean? It means that because Jesus is alive, that we have a personal connection with him. We know his forgiveness. We can speak to him in prayer. We experience him living in us through his Holy Spirit. We hear him speaking to us through his word. See, Christianity is a relationship with Christ. Someone has said that there are basically two kinds of religion in the world. First of all, there are two-letter religions, which are signified by the letters D-O. That is, they're all about things that we have to do to reach God. Christianity, on the other hand, well, Christianity is what we might term a four-letter religion. It is D-O-N-E, because it's about all that God has already done for us in Christ. God has already done everything necessary to take us into a relationship with him and enjoy it now through faith. Now, we need to say and emphasize that there are lots of good things in many of the religions in the world. So many of the people in them, as you will be aware, are extremely dedicated and sincere and do many, many good works. And that's exactly what we would expect if as Christians believe, human beings are created in the image of God, and therefore we are right to respect them for it. However, what we've hopefully been beginning to see this lunchtime is that goodness and morality and being sincere are not actually the point. Rather, the point is Jesus and who he is. Jesus is the one who says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And when he claims that, he's not being arrogant, but rather true. Why is he the only way? Well, he's the only way because he's the only one who can rescue us. He is the only one who reveals God to us. He is the only one who can bring us into relationship with the Father. I guess we often think of religions maybe as being like ladders to try and reach up to God. So we think that religion's perhaps like a ladder that tries to progress gradually up to God by going up all the different rungs. But the truth is, of course, that those ladders of religion will never work. They're all ladders of our own making, ladders, if you like, from the ground up, and so they're all useless. However, Jesus is a ladder from the top down. That is to say that Jesus is God's ladder, a ladder that God has lowered down so that each of us can get to him. And that's why he's the only way. As he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So there, two applications for us as we close this lunchtime. First of all, Jesus is the only way for you to get to God. You may be here this lunchtime, and your view, the way that you're still thinking, is that God will somehow be impressed by your rule-keeping or your religion. You think that if you serve well, if you go to church or maybe some other place of worship, if you do all the right rituals, then God will be really, really impressed with your performance and what you do, and he will look on the last day at your record and give you the big thumbs up. Well, the bad news is that that's not how it actually works. See, this is saying that we can never, ever get God's thumbs up by our own efforts. Rather, the only one that gets the thumbs up is Jesus Christ, and we can get the thumbs up too if we believe in him, if we have joined ourselves to him through faith. And so when you hear me speak week by week, please don't ever mishear what I say and think that what I am saying is get religious, get more committed, follow the rules, get more committed to religion. Rather, what I'm saying is give up on religion and trust exclusively in Christ. Only in him can you get God's thumbs up on that last day. So Jesus is the only way we can reach God, but then we also see that Jesus is the only way for our friends, those who we know, to reach God as well. If Jesus is the only way to God, then surely it follows on logically that we need to tell others about him. Imagine for a moment that you've stumbled across the best mobile phone deal that there is. Say it's like £1 a month for unlimited texts and unlimited calls anywhere in the whole world. What would happen? You would tell all your friends about it immediately. It's such an incredibly good deal that you would want them all to know. And it's the same with Jesus. He is offering us the only way, the only deal that we can come to know God. And so how much more, therefore, should we tell people about him? If we are keen to tell our friends how they can save a couple of quid on their mobile phone deal, then surely we should want to tell them how they can save their souls. Now, my job is not to guilt anyone, and we all struggle with this. We all feel the cultural pressure to keep our heads down, especially when it comes to this topic of Christ and other religions. And obviously, we always need to do things deeply with humility and love and respect. But if Jesus really is the only way, then we do need to be telling others, don't we? And then as we close, let's meditate on these words of Jesus here as paraphrased by St. Thomas a Kempis. This is what he said. Follow thou me, I am the way and the truth and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way that you must follow, the truth which you must believe, the life for which you must hope. In short, Jesus is everything. He's the only way to God. Therefore, realize you're lost, stop the car, ask directions, and trust completely in the one who says, I am the way. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we give thanks that you have not left us lost and helpless, but rather you have sent Jesus as the only way for us to come to you. We thank you that we can know you through him, and so we ask that we would be those who hold on to him as the way, who know him and believe in him as the truth, and who experience him as our life. We ask that you would help us this afternoon in our different places of work and responsibilities that we have, and we ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.